Okay. We did this like the first couple of years I was here, I think, and then like I didn't do it for a little while. I was like, I don't know if people don't want to come. And then like I saw Knife, he did it last year, and it was such a nice thing. So I said, let's keep it going. One thing I have to say, as I'm about to give you all these Divrei Torah for your Seder, the Seder is not about Divrei Torah.
Say that one more time.
The Seder is not about Divrei Torah.
So we're not. We'll be right back.
I'm about to give you Divrei Torah for the Seder. So like, what am I doing, right? Okay, so.
Wait. So why is it not for Divrei Torah?
Okay. So what I mean is like this.
Let's hear.
The Seder, is a night to talk with our children and with each other in general about Emuna. It's the night of Emuna. It's a night to talk about why we believe that there's a God in heaven who created the world and controls the world. That is what the Seder is about. We look in the Sefer HaChinuch, we look in the Ramban. The goal of the Seder, the goal of the Korban Pesach, the goal of everything, Zeicha Letzias Mitzrayim, the whole point is to remember that Hashem, gracious Hashem, creates the world. Yetzias Mitzrayim, Hashem shows that He is in control of the world. Yeah, in control of the world. So that's what the Seder is supposed to be. Right? That's what Yetzias Mitzrayim is. Shavuos is Torah. Hashem gave us the Torah. Yetzias Mitzrayim is Hashem is the controller of the world and continues to be the controller of the world. So that means the Seder is an opportunity to talk about Emuna. And if you have older children and older people and adults, etc. around the table, it's a time to talk about the questions we have about Emuna. Right? It is. It's an opportunity. Why did Hashem put us in Mitzrayim and then take us out? What's that about? Right? Whatever your questions are, right? Talk about him. It's the night of questions, so the children will ask. But we mean it for real. Not one of my kids always kids with me. He says, but it's so weird because they answered every question, so the children will ask. So then what are we doing here? I said, no. But yeah, then you ask, and then we talk about something real, right? It's not just so the children will ask, and then we laugh, and then we move on. It's they're going to ask, well, why is tonight different than any other night? And what is unique about tonight? What are we supposed to do here? So the answer to the question of what are we doing here, and the Sefer Chinuch makes that clear, is to talk about Emuna. Right, that we believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem is in control of the world. He's involved in our life. And if that means, and it should mean, conversations about what that means for our life. Right, so we should talk about that at the Seder. When I say that the Seder is not for Divrei Torah, when I'm about to give you lots of Divrei Torah, is that it shouldn't just be a Divrei Torah fest. Which is like, oh, nice idea. Oh, nice idea. Oh, nice idea. Let's see. Like, then we're missing something. But if the nice ideas bring us to conversation, I tell my kids this. I say, choose like a few. You're each gonna say like, it depends how many people are at the Seder, right? But like, you're gonna get three or four. You know, I want to pick some good ones, and then we'll use some of yours at the table, right? On Yontif. We're not gonna say every single Divrei Torah you learned in school, because then we're just firing Divrei Torah again. It's still nice. The excitement they have to share Divrei Torah is a beautiful thing. I think it's a great model for, by the way, for the whole year, right? With the Divrei Torah at the Seder is the ultimate Shabbos table, right? But my point just is, even as I'm going to share with you Divrei Torah, the goal should be, at least when, you know, as the adults at the table are sharing Divrei Torah, should be to share ideas that bring us to that point, that bring us to conversation. And by the way, the conversation can happen during the meal also. It doesn't have to be just during Magid. And I've told you this before, and I said in the Shabbos, like, although it shouldn't be that it takes 5 hours to get the Magid. That's not to get to the meal. That's not good either. It's boring. It's going to be annoying. We don't want it to be boring. We want it to be fun. So, and engaging. It depends on everyone in their own age, you know, and where they are in life. But so I say that as a caveat, because I'm about to tell you, so I hope, share with you some nice Divrei Torah. But again, the goal is so you find one or two things that you think are nice, and you'll share one or two of them. So that's amazing. You know, that's great. Just that they should be meaningful and take us in the right direction to have a conversation. Okay. So the first two vorts I have to you come from my new favorite Haggadah, which is the Rav Melech on the Haggadah, Rav Melech Biderman. If you don't have this Haggadah, if you like this stuff, if you like these two Divrei Torah, then I would suggest you go get it. It's at every Sharm store in the world right now. Rav Biderman is just full of chizik. Every single thing he says is chizik. He's an amazing Adam Gadol who lives in Bnei Brak. I think he lives in Bnei Brak, Yerushalayim. And he just says beautiful, beautiful ideas. The first idea is actually a Shabbos Haggadol idea, but it's a fully Pesach idea. And he writes as follows. There are many reasons given for the name of this Shabbos. So the Shabbos you just had, Shabbos Haggadol. One is that it's a reference to the great miracle that took place on that day, and another connects it to the pasuk read in the Haftorah that tells of the great day that will come, Yom Hashem Hagadol V'Hanora. Right. One of the ideas, right, that it was the day we took the the sheep from the Egyptians. They said, "What are you doing, Daddy?" He said, "We're gonna kill it." And like, "That's our God. What's your deal?" Right? And like that happens that night. That was a big miracle. That was Hagadol. It was on Shabbos, and that was a big nes. But now he writes as follows. Perhaps we can suggest another answer as well. On this Shabbos, people often have to give up their usual habits in deference to the fact that the house is being readied for Pesach. I don't know about you. My dining room is now filled with boxes of chametz things, while my kitchen is now Pesach deck, right? It's very annoying and hard, and we just like feel out of sorts, right? Maybe instead of challahs, they're just small rolls. And instead of eating in the comfort of the dining room, the sudos are being held in a cramped kitchen, the hallway, or outside on the porch. They're living in Eretz Yisrael. People sometimes dig their heels in during such situations, insisting that change is wrong, and they need to show proper respect for the Shabbos and its meals by treating this Shabbos as all others, whatever the cost to those around them. They want to eat the regular foods in the regular place. It might sound holy, but it is wrong. What is right is to be mevater, to respect the will of others and conduct the Shabbos in a way that makes it easier for the ones charged with preparing for Pesach. Being mevater is what makes a person big. So this Shabbos gives us a chance to be a gadol. Shabbos a gadol. The Shabbos to be big. Rav Aral Belzer was once traveling by taxi, and he had to bend over to enter the car. To move forward, he reflected, a person has to bend over. The Yismach Yisrael, Rabbi Yechmiel Yisrael Yitzchak of Alexander, explained the power of mikvah this way. A person has to crouch and bend themselves to be submerged by the water, and that act is itself an act of purity. Before Pesach, we get this gift, a Shabbos HaGadol, a Shabbos on which we can be great, and the way to be great is by submitting to the needs of those around us. And obviously, this is not just about Shabbos HaGadol, this is about Erev Pesach, it's about this whole week, it's about Pesach itself. Right? There's so much stuff, and it all comes out. If I could tell you, like people who are struggling with things in life, somehow the week before Pesach, it all starts to explode because there's so much pressure and so much anxiety and so much stress. And everything just like kind of comes to a head. And so it's a good thing to think about it, whether this is something you share at the Seder table or whether it's something that you're just thinking about this week. I think it's an important message. To be a gadol means to be mevater. To be big means to make yourself small. To be big means to say, you know what, it's okay. We'll get takeout four nights in a row and whatever, it doesn't matter. And it's fine. I'm not going to look at the bill. We're just going to go. And like, it's okay. Yes, we'll go six more times to that supermarket and that supermarket and that supermarket. And it's fine. We just get it, and it'll be fine. And it's hard, and it's stressful. But when we make ourselves small, we make ourselves big. Okay, that's idea number one. Maybe just to set the stage for this week. Okay, the next idea actually relates to an idea I actually said a few weeks ago in shul, but it's not the same idea. It's a different idea, and this also relates, I think, to the hard work that takes place getting ready for Pesach, and the hard work that Pesach is itself. Because I think we like talk about how amazing it is. Yeah, the Seder, and it's great, and we also talk about a lot, we kvetch a lot on our way into the Seder, because it's hard, and even the Seder itself is very late, and we feel tired, and the second Seder, I can't believe I have to do this again, and there's a lot of like, it's hard, it's not easy work. It's like everyone jokes about, like, come back from vacation to work, right? And I was like, how was your holiday? And I was like, some holiday. Like, I wasn't skiing. I was like, this is hard work, right? Because it is hard work. It's not vacation. It's not. I don't know. I don't think it's meant to be vacation, to be honest. It's not meant to be vacation. It's meant to be an avoda. It's avodas Hashem. It's meant to be an avoda. Okay? And he writes, Rav Biederman, the following. This is quoting from Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. He writes, the Pasuk says in Shir Hashem, I'll tell you outside, you don't have to read it, we don't have to read every single word inside, but he writes like this. The Pasuk says in Shir Hashem, Bayafu Pamayach Banalim Basnadiv. It's a pasuk, like I said, we mentioned a few weeks ago in shul, we said a different pshat then. Right? That how beautiful are the pa'amayich, right? It really means the legs, right? The feet of Am Yisrael, right? And what is it? And the Gemara explains, what does it mean? It's how beautiful are the shoes, right? Na'alayich, the shoes of Am Yisrael, b'shah sha'on la'regel, the time they go up in Aliyah la'regel. Which is a very beautiful idea, right? How beautiful it is, the shoes of Am Yisrael, when we go in Aliyah la'regel. And the kasha, of course, is, when you go Aliyah L'Regel, the thing that's unique about your feet is not your shoes, it is your lack of shoes. And you go on the Har Bayis, you have to take your shoes off. So why would we praise Klal Yisrael for wearing shoes? So he points out such an interesting ha'ara. When Klal Yisrael would go up to Yerushalayim for Aliyah L'Regel, what would they do? They would leave their homes. They didn't have Shabbos locks and alarms and all kinds of, I don't know what they did, but they didn't have those things, right? And there was this really big fear. I'm going to leave to go to Yerushalayim, be gone for who knows how long, 2-3 weeks. My field is left totally unguarded, because who's going to guard it? Everyone's going to Yerushalayim, except for who knows who's around. The chaver who's not, and the chaver who's not going, is I don't know what kind of chaver that is, right? And they're going to be around, and my house is going to be open. Someone told me, I didn't know this is like a terrible thing, but apparently it's true. In Eretz Yisrael, a lot of times in some places, if you go to make if you make a wedding, it's known you have to get a house sitter for your house. Why? Because God knows him. No, when you make a wedding, and someone just told me this is true. That the house could get burglarized when you go to make a wedding because everyone knows you're gone. You're not home.
I was in Yeshiva in Israel 30 years ago. Somebody asked me to house sit their house on the night.
And then I went to a wedding.
Now I know why.
It's a real thing. It's a real thing. It happens. People know because everybody knows everybody, and everyone knows. And the chevra's not people not around, and they steal your stuff. It's crazy. So there was that fear. So the Torah actually gives a promise that it's not going to happen. Actually, the Torah tells us v'le'achmod ish etz artzecha that people will not covet each other's land. So it's like a promise that Hashem gives. Don't worry, go up, and I'm gonna take care of it. Same promise Hashem gave is like by Shemitah, right? If you do Shemitah, so year 6, 7, 8 will be extra good. Hashem understands our fears. So we go up, and you're walking to Yerushalayim. What happens? So he says you're walking to Yerushalayim, and you're nervous. You feel bad. You're like, it's gonna be. I don't know. I know I should go, but it's hard. I'm not, right? Like remember, like everyone. We always says, oh, then everyone was tzaddikim. Everyone has struggled also. It's hard. They'd go up and they'd be walking and going and going, and the whole way through, they're kind of worried and thinking, like, holy cow, I hope everything's okay. I hope that I locked the door. Did I not? Right? Like, worried about it. And then you get to Yerushalayim, and you get to the Har Bayis, you take your shoes off, and you go up, and it's like, Gevald, like, it's amazing, and it's an amazing experience. You're with the Shekhinah, and it's this incredible experience. So if you ask me what would be the thing that Hashem would praise, he would praise us being on the Har Bayis. Right, seeing Klal Yisrael together with me, enjoying and spending time, that's the thing that makes me so happy. So Shlomo Zalman Auerbach said, no, Hashem loves the most. He doesn't love us when we're, he loves us then too, but the most when we're up on the Har Bayis. He loves us when we are b'na alaych, when we're walking up, when we're fighting ourselves and we're struggling and we're not sure and it's hard for us and we do it anyways and we get started and we go. That is the sweetest to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why it says, "Mayafu pamayich banalim basanif." When you get going and you do the hard thing, even though it's hard to do and it makes you worried and you're not sure and it's going to cost me a lot of money and what's going to be and I have all these people in my house and right and I have my shoes on this week, right and working hard at it and we have to travel whatever we're going to do right it's hard. That the Ribbono Shel Olam is not Shepi Nachas only when we sit at the Seder table. He's Shepi Nachas on our way there because that's the hard work. Mayafu pamayich. Bane Alim, specifically, that's the great levels that Kadosh Baruch Hu is proud of us for when we work hard while we're still wearing our shoes on our way to work hard together. So we can do that if you want to thank the person who makes your Seder possible with this vort. Maybe a good idea. The person, you know, the person or people who made it happen, it's a nice vort, Tisha. Okay. You can see Rav Biederman, he's a chizuk machine. You just see those two vorts. So if you like those vorts, I'm happy to publicize for Art Scroll. You should get the Sefer because I love it. I've never sat with a Haggadah and just read. Like, I don't do that. I jump around a little bit. I'm reading it like in order, like a Sefer because it's so every word is like a chizik machine. Okay, good. Okay, we get to the Seder and we say, right? And we say, Kodichvin Yesei Veyichel. Right? We sit down and we say, you know, everybody wants to come to the meal and everyone's asked the Kasha. What's the kasha? They're here already. If you wanted to invite people, invite them before. This is too late. What are we doing? Why are you inviting people? You're already sitting here. What are you inviting them for? What's that about? So there's a sefer, Haggadah called V'Haggadata, written by Rav Yaakov Galinsky. He's a rav in Eretz Yisrael. I don't know who he is really, but I've seen some of his Haggadahs, very beautiful. And he writes like this, Lo Muvan, I don't understand. And this is his kasha. Halo afilu ani shebe Yisrael lo yochad sheyaseif. The rule is, even the poorest person in Am Yisrael, right, cannot eat until he sits down at the Seder, right? Ve'yesh lo shalosh matzos on the Seder, right? Even the poorest person has to get themselves 3 matzahs, 4 cups of wine. They have to figure it out. Everybody's got to do that, right? So who are you inviting? Everyone has to figure it out. Right, so everyone's figuring it out before. And our responsibility is moschitim to provide. Like, we provided for everybody. Everybody should have by now, right? Kol matzah v'tafkida. Al yonah v'tachtona l'lecha mishneh. I have to have the right amount, right? to two. I'm tzayis l'afikomen, a middle one for the afikomen. Ula ala chilas matzah, lechem oni berprusa, v'tachton l'korech. You have to have three matzahs. V'uposech as a seder ba'omro, kodich v'niyesev yecho. And you say, no, everybody come, everybody come. Everyone should have by now. Now it's our job to make sure everyone has. So he writes like this. V'daniach. And let's assume. Sha'adela tipatach. Vani kanes. Imagine you say, kodich v'niyesev. Oh, really? And someone shows up and walks in the door. What are you going to give him? Ready? Let's say I'm the person who doesn't have so much. And all I have is my three matzahs. And all I have is four cups of wine. I don't have more than that. What would happen? I don't have anything left. I have just by those three matzahs, that's going to be all. I have to have five kazeses of matzah, and I'm not going to have enough. Right? And what's the answer? Vatshuva. Kishayesh ani nitzrach. If someone would taka walk in, and all you had was your three matzahs, what would you do? Heinachas kol achumris. If you stop it because I had some matzahs, what would you do? You throw out all the chumris. Five kazeis of matzah the seder is the right thing to do, but that is not the ikar adin. The ikar adin is to eat one kazeis of matzah. Take your hand, right? If you don't know what a kazeis is, take a shmur matzah. Do this, right? And that's a kazeis. That's it. Right? Some people say this, right? But this is it. You have three matzahs, and there's a person who comes in who doesn't have, what are you going to do? You're going to give him a matzah. Oh, no, I won't have three. So you won't have three. It's okay. Another Jew doesn't have. So you won't have the most machmir. You won't have the greatest shir. You won't have the most. You won't have the best Borough Park matzah. It costs $100 a bite, whatever it is, you know? You're not going to, so you won't have it. It's okay. You'll have less. Kayotzi bekach. And he says, I'll give you the example. Vayachel Noach ish adama v'yita kerem. He says, we know that Noach, when he came out of the teva, so he plants a vineyard. V'darshu bo shenasa chulin u'mitzari tamim hayali ish adama. It's like, so terrible, what happened to Noach? Like, he falls, right? He says, ish tzadik, and now he plants a vineyard. So why is that bad? He says, madua, lo net, lama lo namar shahayitza kavanas lo shamayin liyayin kiddush. Maybe the reason why he planted that vineyard was to make kiddush. Maybe that's why. Right, so why are we not happy with him? He writes like this. Avalim ha'olam charev, it's a Jerush, obviously. He says, if the world's just been destroyed, al tachshav al chumris. You don't have to worry about chumris. Tizra chita v'to'afa lechem, laspir avon kulam. If you have to choose something to plant, what are you going to plant? You're going to plant wheat. And get bread. Oh, but if I have wheat, I'm not going to have wine for Kiddush. What's the answer? What are you going to do? You'll make Kiddush on?
Bread.
The bread. Oh, but that's not the best. The answer is, it doesn't matter if it's not the best. When you're stuck and there's a difficult situation, you throw away your chumrus and you do the ikar adin, which you can make kiddush on bread, right? It's cute, right? But and he says, kulam shamu al chumrus shel chazanish. Everyone knows about the chumrus of the chazanish. Ava mefurash about mefurash shamati mipi chazanish. I heard the chazanish say the following: ani lo machmir el rak makpida halacha. I'm not a machmir, right? I'm not so machmir. And he says basically, what about all your chumrus? He says, no. Chumras are when you have a chance for extra. But if you don't have a chance for extra and it's going to hurt somebody else, then I drop the chumras, he said. And I just threw the ikar adin. So why do we say kodich ben yesev yecho? It's such a beautiful idea. Why do we say kodich ben yesev yecho? What we say is, even if someone coming in would mean I wouldn't have enough and I just have a small amount, I don't care. Drop it. You'll get basic and everyone else will have. They tell a story, I forget which rabbi this was. They tell a story that there was one year, you know, in like some town in Europe, there's very little matzah. And they had enough matzah to give every person three matzahs only. This is for two nights, right? They give every person three matzahs. And so giving out three matzahs to everybody. And one guy shows up, and he's the shamus of one of a rebbe. And he says, and I forget, there's a different rebbe who was organizing the matzahs. So he comes to the guy, he says, my rebbe needs six matzahs. Everybody's only getting three matzahs. It's like, what are you doing? So he says, my rebbe said he's makbid. He needs to have six matzahs. So he says, okay. So he's like a little disappointed in him. He gives him six matzahs. Like, it's like a chutzav, you know? So he gives him six matzahs. Erev Pesach, just before Yontif, the guy comes back with three matzahs. And he says, I took six matzahs because I knew that if there weren't going to be enough matzahs left, the rebbe, were going to give them all away. So I took six so I could bring three back for you, so you'd have them for Pesach. Right? Okay, it's a song. So it must have happened. So it's true. It must be true. The story. So there you go. Right? We're so, sometimes at the Seder, we get so nervous. We get so nervous, right? By being machmir. And we should be careful to be, not to be so crazy, not so machmir that it hurts other people, not so machmir that it stares at other people. We do what we got to do, but not more. Not more than it's going to hurt somebody else. Okay. Next one. Manishtana. I'm sure you have no people with Divrei Torah on the Manishtana at your Seder. No one's going to have anything to say. Okay? But maybe they won't say this one. Okay, this is a vort from the Baal Shem Tov. The Baal Shem Tov, the students of the Baal Shem Tov, source number 4, point out the following, I think, very, very nice idea. So we see in the Manishtana, he writes as follows, L'fi pshuto, shekavanaso lomar, shebachol halelos anu ochlin, bein chametz, u bein matzah. Right? What do we say? When we say, yoshvin u misubin, what do we say? Right? Shebachol halelos anu ochlin, bein yoshvin u bein misubin, one or the other. One or the other. What should we say at the Seder for matzah? Shebechol az anu ochlim bein chametz bein matzah. One or the other. We don't say that. We say chametz u matzah. Every night in your house, I don't know about you guys, we eat matzah never the whole year. Right? Unless we leave like one box in case like we forget, like a mission or something, so you get a matzah. Right? But like, no one eats matzah. Chametz u matzah. No one eats chametz and matzah. No, you eat one or the other. Right? So it should be bein chametz bein matzah. Okay? Check out the Baal Shem Tov. It's a very beautiful idea. Lefi pshuto shekavanaso lomar, what should have been said, shebecho alelios anu ochlin bein chametu bein matzah havelel mirakin. That's what you should have said. Anu ochlin bein chametu bein matzah kamosha kasuv bein yoshvin and bein misubin. Same thing, one or the other. Ve'od, another question. Shelahay lelahaskir rak bechol alelios anu ochlin chametz halel hazeh matzah. Also, just say, on other nights we eat chametz. Tonight we eat matzah. However you want to say it. But don't say every other night we eat chametz and matzah. That's not true. Okay, so what are you going to say? Achein. Tedi Pshari says. Efshe lefarish da matzah shal mitzvah zeicher lelechem toda. The matzah that we eat at the Seder. Why are we eating the matzah tonight? We're eating it as a recognition, a thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the fact that he took us out of Mitzrayim. Some even say the Korban Pesach is like analogous to a type of korban toda, right? That a person who would, right, zeichel lechem toda, the arba tzrichin lehodos, right? There's a rule, a general, right? There are 4 different people who have to give hodah to Hashem. Today, we don't, being a korban toda, we bench gomel. What are the cases when we bench gomel? V'simanech chayim. What is it that you remember by the words chayim? Right? Chayim, chole, person was sick. Yam, they transverse the ocean, right? Person flies to Eretz Yisrael, whatever. Yotze mi beis hasrim, person comes out of prison. And midbar, person, you know, crosses the desert. Any of those 4 cases, which are very dangerous, so a person has to bring a korban todah. Today we bench gomel. Okay? V'Yisrael yotze mi beis hasrim. So we had all these things. All right, what happened to Am Yisrael? We left beis hasrim. We left prison. V'gan misrapu micholei hanefesh. We were saved from our, you know, emotionally sick where we were, vayu'ovim bayam, and they crossed the yam, and umbe midbar, and they went through the desert. All 4 things that a person has to give a korban toda for, we did all 4 on the night of the Seder. Viyadua ki todan, and what's the rule? And when you bring a korban toda nechelas layom v'lalu umitzvah v'achilasi, you can eat it for 1 night and 1 day, and you have to eat the whole thing. But one of the rules of a korban toda is you bring with it lots and lots and lots of bread. Okay. In fact, the reason we don't say Mizrul Soda on Erev Pesach, right, is because you wouldn't be able, in the davening, we don't say Mizrul Soda. Why? Because it involves challah. Typically, there's never chametz in the Beis HaMikdash, only matzah in the Beis HaMikdash. So, but a korban toda was made out of chametz, and it was a lot of it, 30 or 40 loaves of bread. And no person on their own could eat that much bread. So what would you have to do? You have to invite other people. Right? The idea of a sudas hoda, you invite a lot of people, comes from the idea of a korban toda. So the night of the Seder is the ultimate korban toda. And if it's the ultimate korban toda, what would you eat at that? And by the way, you would put the korban toda involved loaves of bread and matzah. Yeah, and meat also. And matzah. So if that's true, on a usual korban toda, on a normal day, what would you eat? Chametz u'matzah together. Because that would be the typical example of a korban toda. Right? Lachin haben shoel, b'neima sha'ar achilas lechem lemitzvah dahanu lach me toda, shanu ochlim balayla, anu ochlim chametz u matzah biyachad. Then we eat both together. Right? Why don't we eat the two together? And that's why he says, usually we eat chametz u'matzah, and tonight just matzah. That's why he asked the kasha. But the really nice idea is that what's coming out, the reason for the question, is because the bewilderment, if you will, of this very wise child, apparently, is that typically that this night is the ultimate korban todah. Right? It's that we chayim, those four things, all those four things happen to us, it's the ultimate reason. Lahodos, lahalel, l'shabeach, to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for what he did for us when we left Mitzrayim. Different idea for the Manashtana. Okay. Next. The next idea comes from Usher Weiss. A really nice idea. And he tells a story about Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Dichev. And he relates it to this, the idea, right? We know that the Talmidei Chachamim get together in Bnei Brak, and they're sitting, and they're telling the story, and they tell the story until when? Higiyas man kriyash mash ha-shachar. They're telling the story until it gets to shachar. Which is nice, it's cool, it's a cool story, but like, what is it? What's it there for? What is it teaching us? Why do we have to tell this story? So there's lots of pshatim why this story is necessary. So he tells a story about Rav Levi Yitzchak Bar Dichev. You should be happy you didn't go to Rav Levi Yitzchak Seder, because apparently he wouldn't go home right away after shul. Okay? Chasidim misaprim al tzadik ha-kadosh Rav Levi Yitzchak Bar Dichev. Sanigorin Shai Yisrael, he was the defender of Klal Yisrael, right? He would always, Rabbi Levi Yitzchak was always finding defense for Am Yisrael. Shibidarko mi beis ha-knesses, when he would go home from shul, b'leil ha-seder, the night of the seder, haya mis'akev, he would go a little slower, right? Which is not really, I'm not going to say about him, but like, you're supposed to go home fast. Start the seder. Okay, fine. But he, you know, chasidim, they take late. So he would go slow. Why? Umakshiv la'arei arichas ha-seder shal pshutei ha'am. It's a little creepy. But he would go listen by the windows and the doors of other Jews and hear how they would have a Seder. Because Levi Yisrael would always want to have ammunition to come to Kodesh Baruch Hu, how great Klal Yisrael is. Okay, so he would like to hang around. He would hang around. But some years we go to my parents on the other side of town for the Seder. So I'm coming to shul Friday night. I come to shul at night and then I walk. It's like the most nerve-wracking, anxiety-ridden walk of my life, of the whole year, because I'm like nervous, everyone's waiting for me, you know? And one time they're coming from their shul and our shul, whatever. So I run out of shul. But what I do is, as I'm walking, I'm looking in the windows. And I see everybody like starting to say that. That makes me more nervous. But I always think of this Maisa, because when that happens. But okay, this year I'm at home. But fine. So he writes like this. Pam Achas, 1 year. Hikshiv l'seder shal Yehudi Pashat. It was a simple Jew, not a big Talmid Chacham, a regular Jew who was having a seder. Ama Aretz, not a very learned person. Vishamu Omer b'slavus Yehira. With tremendous slavus. What was he saying? Echad Chacham. Echad Rasha. Okay, so he's telling the story of the four sons. V'kach l'kol echad mi'arba banim. He said it the same way for each of his four sons. And he told them, what's my minhag? He said it. My father told me, when you say echad, you have to say it long. Where's that come from?
Shema.
Right? People have this minhag. It's really like the Taimanim who say, the dalad, we can't say long. But if you say, right? I think Taimanim, right? So that's how you know that they're always right and we're wrong about how to pronounce things, right? You can't say the duh longer. It's impossible, right? But fine. But we say echad. So this like beautiful Jew was saying, whenever you say the word echad, you have to, it's like a million medillia, sort of. You're like, yeah, you have to be marich echad all the time. So he's echad chacham. Echad rasha. Okay, so it's like kind of comical, right? And really useful, of course. Doesn't make it into a joke. He finds a way to be Malamut Tzchus on this guy, that he's really finding the ultimate in the Seder. Okay? Nasa HaKdushas Levi as Kapav Lamaram. So Levi Yitzchak, he raises his hands to the sky. V'amar, Ribon Sha'olam, Mika Amcha Yisrael, your Jewish people are amazing. Halo ze ko ha-tachle shalela Seder. V'sibir Yitzchak, what's the whole goal of the Leila Seder and Sibir Yitzchak? Lehagia lekabalas omochu shemayim. The goal is, like we said, it's the night of Amunah. That's the goal of the Seder. Ugadole hatanayim hayu mesubin kol alayla. Umesarpim v'tiyat. There are people who would sit all night to tell the story. Until reaching this you know, goal. And it said to them, you know, now you've reached the time for Shema. Right? And what's the idea? You reached the time for Shema. You've reached the void. The idea, you have spent the time talking about Yetzias Mitzrayim the whole night, that you can now say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and you know what it means. You mean it. Wow, Hashem really is Echad. Right? But he said, but this Jew, he says, but look at this beautiful Jew. He's a simple Jew. He's just beginning the Seder. And he's already being marich be'echad. He's already reached Hashem Echad at that stage. So that's it's a joke, but it's not a joke. And it's right, the idea of echad hakam echad, right, that we are trying to be marich be'echad. It's a very beautiful idea that we should get to that place in our lives. He added this one, I think, cute idea of that tzaddik hosif b'derech tzchos. He added one other thing. He gives man kriyashma shel shacharis. The letters of the word shacharis are chacham, rasha, tam, sheinoy de lishol. Within those words, you can try to do the wordle later and figure it out. But right. But that's right. We talk about all four children. It gets us to a place of understanding the echad. Okay. All right. So again, I hope you find one of these wacky stories. You know, tell one of a wacky story at your seder, and then it gets people to talk. Okay. Idea number six comes from Nesiva Shalom. Nesiva Shalom, Shalom Noach Berzovsky, the Slonim Rebbe, talking about, I think I mentioned this idea last year when we talked in Shabbos Agadol about the Russia. And the Russia is a very, very difficult part of the Seder. It's very hard to say Pshat in the Russia. It's like very difficult for people to have these conversations because we, you know, it's hard. We punch them in the face. What does that mean? Why do we treat someone like that? It's a very uncomfortable point, and we're just kind of like, get it over with, because we're nervous to really talk about the Russia. Doesn't look, it's not so PC. We don't reject people. Like, what's this about? What's going on here? And the Slonim Rebbe said a very, very beautiful, beautiful pshat in this story. And he says like this: Ben HaRusha Shoel. The Ben HaRusha, what does he ask? Ma avodah zos lachem. So what is this to you? In Yano Kamashikasev Maran Mekorin, the Kabrina Rebbe said, Atu Bershiyaskinan, he asked, he said, wait a second. The Gemara always says, and if the Gemara gives examples of people, the Gemara will say, wait a second. Like, just to be clear, we don't give examples in the Gemara from people who are Rishayim. We don't do that. We give examples from regular Jews who care about Torah mitzvahs. So he says, it can't be. We say Russia, it doesn't mean you really are Russia, because it can't be. We don't give examples from the Russia. So Ella, what's going on here? Ella Sha'amnam hu Ovid Hashem. He's not a Russia mamish. He's an Ovid Hashem. This guy, man or woman, they have a lot of trouble in Avodas Hashem. It's hard for them. They try, and every time they try, they fall down, like a lot of us. We try hard, and we fall down. And we come to a place where we get ready to give up. Valkein Shoel, Ma Avoda Zos Lachem. Lachem V'lolo. He says, you guys do it. I'm a nobody. It doesn't work for me. You know how it works. I try to learn something. I try to get up for Shacharis. And it doesn't work for me. It's like too hard for me. I'm not used to the rigor of a firm life. It's too hard. I can't do it. Lachem velolo. Not because he's anti. Not because he's angry. Because he's given up. Atem shezachitam l'shmir halyonim. You guys, you're good at this. You do it. Avahu shemale kishlonos miyetzah rasha boer boyitza. A fire of yitzhar inside himself. Eich yochol avod. I can't serve Hashem. Hashem doesn't want me. Hashem's disgusted with me. He's not interested in me. That's the Russia, says the Solomon. They love hachuva. And what is the response to this person who's not a bad person? They just make a lot of mistakes. Ilu hayasham lo haya nigal. This is one of the most painful sentences in the whole Haggadah. Wait, you guys see me wanting to come out? It's horrible. It's not the Peshat, he says. Perish. Gam anu shkuyim hayinu b'mitzrayim. All of us. Mitzrayim, we were all b'memtesh sharituma. We were in the worst place. We were in such a difficult situation. V'rak mikoach shiz chazaknu v'lo yis ya'ashnu migulas hanefesh. How did we get out? Because we believed in ourselves that we could do this. We said to ourselves, you know what, I can be better than this. I'm not perfect. I'm not perfect yet. I'm not going to be perfect ever. But I'm going to try. And I'm going to give myself chizik. And I didn't give up on myself. Imgulas haguf higanu alko. That's how we got here. V'ilu hayasham, and if he was there, lo haya nig'al machmas etzem hayeyush hazeh shebo. Not that he wouldn't have left because we would have left him, because we're not interested in him. It's that if that's your mindset, you get left behind. If that's your mindset that I don't belong, I don't deserve it, that's not who I am, so then you become loya niga. Right? The point being, not that we don't want him, not that he's really a Rasha, but we can't have that mindset about ourselves. And if you have that mindset about yourself, then you can't find geula for yourself because you feel just always bad about yourself and you don't recognize that it's okay, get up and try again. And then he says even further, Odi Shlomar. He goes, and I'll say another pshat. Kamur d'lo b'rishi askidan shalom aminim b'Hashem chasram. He goes, well, it doesn't mean that he's a non-amamin in Hashem. Right? And this is a classic slumber idea. This is not just that he doesn't believe in Hashem. Ela she'enu ma'amin b'koach hatamir v'ne'alam b'shoresh nishamash b'nei Yisrael. What does it mean about this person? Not that he's not ma'amin in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's not a ma'amin in himself. Right? He's a person who doesn't believe that he can be more. And because he doesn't believe more, he can be more, that's why he gets stuck. Right? Asher gam be'esh shkuim b'mem t'ashari tuma lo da'echa nitzotz eloka mimal shebekirbam. Right? He doesn't believe that he has something left inside of himself. We say about him, he was kafar bikar. What's a kafar bikar? We say he's an eno ma'amin. No. It means to believe that any Jew is not worthy is to not believe the Ribbono Shel Olam. To believe that there's a Kadosh Baruch Hu who rejects any of us is to have a messed up type of emunah. So we say about him, kafar bikar, hakesh yinav. You gotta shake him. And remind him that that's wrong. Don't think that just because you feel like you're so low down and you messed up so many times and you've done everything wrong and every aveir in the book, I've done all those aveirs. It doesn't matter. Hakeshinov. Don't think that you don't belong. Right? And that's a kafar bikar. To believe that any Jew is not valuable, that any Jew is lost, is to be a kofar. That's to be a person who doesn't have the correct type of emunah. That's not really, I think, really beautiful. So that's it's also works PC. It's very inclusive. Awesome, but I think it's not just inclusive. It's MS. It's truth. So it's really you know, a very beautiful idea. The Kedushas Levi has this. We just read before has the same word by Noach. The Medrash says about Noach that Noach was bikatne emunahaya. He had a lack of emunah. What? Noach is ish tzaddik. He says no, but Noach didn't. The reason he didn't go around helping people was because he didn't believe in himself. He didn't believe, who am I? Who am I to tell people what to do? Who am I to convince people? Who am I? Right? You have a lack of emunah in yourself, so then you're never gonna be able to do what you gotta do. Okay. Okay. Next idea. I'll a couple more ideas before we gotta stop in a couple minutes. So one or two more ideas. This idea I've mentioned before. I love this idea for two reasons. One, because it's beautiful, and two, because it answers such a beautiful question. We put something on the Seder plate, right? Every year we put something on the Seder plate to be our Zecher to the Korban Pesach, right? We say Pesach, Matzah, Maror. So when you say Pesach, what do you point to? The shank bone, which we call the Zeroa. Why a Zeroa? Like, first of all, because that's what they wrap up in little paper in the Galah Express, and you that's what you buy and you roast, right? But like, who decided that it's the Zeroa? Couldn't it be the cave? Like, there are other parts of the animal we could have used. Why do we choose specifically the Zeroa? I see it's a great kasha, right? Why a Zeroa? So Yisrael Meir Druk says such a beautiful idea. And he says like this, we know that the idea of Zeroa, there's another place where we find this same type of language, right? The Zeroa is the Hashem says, Hashem will take us out, but Yachazaka will be Zeroa and it's Hashem's an outstretched arm. Hashem didn't take us out. So where else do we find an outstretched arm in the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim?
Bas Parah.
It is Miriam also. Right. It's Miriam and Bas Parah, right? But the person who outstretches her arm is Bas Parah. And what happens in the story? Right? She sees this child, Vatishlachas Amata, which the real pshat means she sends her maidservant to get the baby, right? But we said, the Medrash says what? That Vatishlachas Amata, she sent out her arm. And what does the Medrash say? Her arm becomes super long, like Gumby, or a Stretch Armstrong, right? Stretch arm, right? Yeah, what else? Inspector Gadget, whatever, right? Go-Go Gadget arms, right? Whatever it is, whatever example you want to give, it's not reality, right? To reach that far, if the thing was all the way down there by the arm, so and I reach my arm, I'm not going to catch it. So what's the kasha? Why'd she reach? Why'd she put her arm out for? You're not going to get it anyways. So says your joke, that's exactly the beauty. Right? What happens? She knows that she's not going to reach. But what does she say to herself? I can't not try. I can't not try. I got to try. Whatever's going to happen, I got to try. And so what does she do? So she stretches out her arm. What happens when she tries? Ah, Baruch Shalom helps her. And she actually is able to do it. So he says, Omrim Rabbeinu Balei HaMusar. Sorry, I'm bolded. Omrim Rabbeinu Balei HaMusar. We're in source number 7. What is it? 7. In the third paragraph, I think. Fourth. Omrim Rabbeinu Balei HaMusar. Kimikan anu lemedim yisod gadol b'avos Hashem. You learn an amazing yisod in avos Hashem. Basia bas parvatz esoshalotia alea shum tviya min hashamayim madua hi lo hitzilas hayelat shenim sabateva. She said, it can't be. No one should ever say about me that I didn't try. Lakach haya alea lasos kol mashe bekochel lasos. She did whatever she could. Hadam mechuyov b'maisa hishtalos mitzido af im davar zed lo yuchal lahavias atolas adidreshes. I'm never going to be successful. I'll never finish the job. Moshe Rabbeinu sets up the first 3 Ari Miklat on his side of the yard, even though he knows he's not going to go into Eretz Yisrael. I got to do the most that I can possibly do. Right? Even though I know I won't finish it, you got to try. Ki al kol panim hu mar bekach shu chafetz umionyan lasod hadavar upoel ad hichan shiyotu bagaz. I show when I do that, even if I know I won't finish it, I show how far I'm willing to try. How far I'm willing to stretch myself. Right? Lo'or zos yesh lomar ki zehu haremesh anu manichin bakara dafka es hazroa. That's where you put the zroa on the plate. Lomar she'anu enenu zakaim l'kol ha'tov she'kadosh baruch hu mashpilim. We're not even all the things we get from Hashem, right? We don't even like deserve it all. Ava anu osim ma kol ma she'alinu lasos. But we'll do everything that we can do. Afilu im zerak hoshat es zroa ketani. We just send our shorthand, which can't possibly reach as far as it's supposed to go. Because she'anu mivkinasenu moshitim zroa, and we say, Hashem, look, we're going to do our side. We'll do our part. We're going to stretch as far as we can stretch. And we know that by stretching as far as we can stretch, we can't reach the goal in the end. We're never going to finish it, right? We're never going to get the, bring the gula ourselves. We're never going to make ourselves perfect. Those things are not really even attainable on our own. But we say to Kadosh Baruch Hu, we will put out our zroa, right? We'll be fatishlacha samata, and we ask you to do what you do, which is fill in the rest. And so we sit with a Korban Pesach on the table, which is not a Korban, it's a Zeichel Korban Pesach, right? And we like wish that we didn't have to have this Nebuch zroa. It costs $4, and it shouldn't even cost $4, but okay, it costs $4, and you have it on the table, and like, it's like such a nebuch, right? It's such a nebuch, it's like a nothing. You're used to having a Korban Pesach, right? And you have like this nothing. And you say, yeah, but it's the Zeroa, it's my stretch, I'm going to reach, I'm going to try. Because if I reach and I try, who knows, the Ribbono Shel Olam might be willing to fill it in. So with that, I think we're out of time, so we'll stop here. But, like I said, it's not a night of Divrei Torah per se, but it is a night to find the ideas that can get us to the echad, the ideas that can get us to that sense of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that our job in this world is to stretch and to try and to strive, not because we're perfect, because we're not perfect, but to know that we're all Zocha and we're all Roy, and the Ribbono Shel Olam knows who we are inside and no one should give up. And this should be a night of Chizik. It's a night of Chizik in our Avodas Hashem. And if we use the night that way, and we make it fun for the kids, and it's exciting, and all the fun and the good and all that stuff, we put it together, then we should be Zocha that the night of our Seder, and if we're where we are, continue to be Seders here in Chutz La'aretz, Mitzvah Hashem, we should be Zocha that our nights of the Seder should give us such Chizik and such strength that we shouldn't need a Seder next year, Mitzvah Hashem, where our Seder should be next year in Yerushalayim. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.